Okay, and the rest of us, let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 38. While you're turning, you know, it isn't just the earth shaking event of Tom getting saved 33 years ago on this date. The earth really shook 15 years ago on this date. San Francisco earthquake took place during the third game of the World Series. And Tom's wearing a Chicago Bears tie, as he often does. Today marks the anniversary of the first NFL football game in 1920. The Chicago Bears played in it, and they won 7-0. They were then known as the Decatur Staleys. Or Staleys. Decatur Staleys is what they were. Odd name. I don't know where that came from. All right. Okay, well, when you're thinking of time, and you're thinking of time spent, and you look back, perhaps you can look back at periods of time in your life when you have suffered from illness. And perhaps you can look back on those times of illness and see how God has worked during those times to draw you closer to Himself. In the psalm we're looking at today, we're going to be looking at a psalm that talks about being sick of or sick with sin. And to introduce this, first of all, it's one of the six penitential psalms, which means psalms of confession. And we saw one back in Psalm 6 and again in Psalm 32 not too long ago as we're looking at these. The next confession psalm we'll look at is Psalm 51, a confession of David after his sin with Bathsheba. This has many similarities with Psalm 6. In fact, the first verse of Psalm 6 and the first verse of Psalm 38 are almost identical. And so David's using the same words to describe his situation. This is his prayerful lament over his sin. Notice very carefully in chapter 38 there, as you look at it, the last words of verse 3 are because of my sin. In verse 4, for my iniquities. At the end of verse 5, because of my folly. There's no other scripture reference to the situation that's talked about here. Nothing in 1 and 2 Samuel, nothing in Kings, nothing that we can point back to that we know about. Some people have suggested, well, then how do we know it's even David then, if we don't have any references to his illness? Well, let's remember the times in which this took place. Most Israelites would have faced serious disease, I mean serious disease, more than just a common cold, throughout their lifetime. And it was a common thing, and they had short lifespans to boot because of that, in the type of situation conditions they lived in. And so, so many went through serious times of illness that it was not considered something really special to be noted unless there were other circumstances with it that caused it to be mentioned. As here, David was convinced that in this case, his illness was caused by his sin. The interesting tie here back to chapter 37 is in chapter 37, David had said here in an imperative, wait for the Lord. And in chapter 38, verse 15, we find him following the imperative that he wrote in chapter 37 in waiting, hoping in the Lord. And so he got to put that to work. Be careful what you teach. You may have to put it to work. Every time I teach the book of Job, my wife begins to tremble. Just recently I was talking to someone who was teaching the book of Job, and I had asked him, I had told him before, I said, well, if you're going to choose the book of Job, I said, be prepared to suffer, because you've got to learn the lesson of the book of Job personally as you're teaching. And he told me just this last week that that was correct. They've had some unusual suffering to go through.
Thanks, I'm reading through it now.
You're reading through it now, okay. Get ready, Glenna. All right. Psalms 38 and 70 are the only two psalms that have a heading titled For a Memorial. This probably has to do with the sacrifice that was being offered at the time of confession of sin. We see that in Leviticus chapter 5. I gave you a reference there to verses 12 and 13, where the memorial offering or memorial portion is added to the sacrifice of restitution when confession of sin is made. Yes?
Do we know that just before he was king?
We have no idea whether it was before or after he was king. It might have been. We have no idea. Since there's no tie elsewhere, we have no idea. And there's no clue in the psalm of the circumstances either. Now, let's read together Psalm 38, shall we? A psalm of David for a memorial. O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not in your burning anger, for your arrows have sunk deep into me, and your hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my falling. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long. For my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, even that has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay snares for me, and those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction, and they devise treachery all day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute man who does not open his mouth. Yes, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no arguments. For I hope in you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. For I said, may they not rejoice over me, who when my foot slips would magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I confess my iniquity. I am full of anxiety because of my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and strong, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. And those who repay evil for good, they oppose me because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. We're going to have Marcus come and lead us in a song. It's on page 4 of your handout, and we're going to sing the verses numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, and 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 10.
Are these somehow chronological as far as you know?
The Psalms?
Yeah.
No.
So this could be in his old age?
Yes, it could be. In fact, Moses 37 was in his old age. Okay.
Okay, you said 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7, and 10?
Correct.
Okay, great. This is to the tune of Am I a Soldier of the Crosses? Is everyone familiar with that tune? Because I kind of had to learn it. So we'll go ahead and it goes...
Amidst thy brethren, tender love, restore thy servant, Lord. Lord, let a father's chasing fruit, like an avenger's sword. Thine arrows stick within my heart, my flesh is sorely pressed. Between the sorrow and the smile, my spirit finds no rest. My sins are heavy, Lord, appear, and o'er my head are come. Too heavy pain for me to bear, too hard for me to atone. My thoughts are like a troubled sea, my head still bending down, and I go mourning all the day beneath my Father's crown. Thou art my God, my only hope, my God will hear my cry, my God will bear my spirit up when Satan bids me die. My God, forgive my folly past and be forever nigh. O Lord of my salvation, haste before thy servant died.
Great thing. Thank you, Marcus. Another Isaac Watts. There was only one other hymn I could find written on the basis of Psalm 38. Anyone have any ideas why that might be?
Kind of a depressing psalm,
right. Someone asked me yesterday, they said, are we going to cover only Psalm 38 tomorrow? It's so depressing.
On a rainy day like this.
On a rainy day like this to boot, right. We didn't know anything about that at the time. All right, but we're going to find that there are some things in the psalm that aren't depressing, too. How would you pray Psalm 38? Anyone have a sentence prayer from Psalm 38?
Lord, help me.
Lord, help me? Okay, good. Another? TJ? Okay, I confess my sin. Okay, thank you, Lord, that there's hope in you.
You are my consolation.
You are my consolation. Anyone else? Other sentence prayers?
Help me, God.
Okay, help me, God.
Help me not be mute when I have a chance to witness.
Okay, help me not be mute when I have a chance to witness. Notice the last words of this psalm. What are they? Are they depressing, the last words? What are the last words? What's the very last two words?
My salvation.
My salvation. Can't be much depressing about that, right? So although the psalm has a lot of depressing thoughts and concepts in it, it ends with a praise to God because of salvation. Well, let's take a look at a couple others here. I have been foolish and have sinned, Lord. Talks about my folly here. Behold my illness and give me relief, O God. Father, my hope is in you, from verse 15. Father, forgive me, because I have sinned against you. That's out of verse 18. And Lord, you alone are my salvation, out of verse 22. On understanding the psalm, there are four kinds of prayer in this psalm. The first prayer is a prayer for mercy in verses 1 through 8. He does not want to be rebuked in the Lord's wrath. He does not want to be chastened by the Lord's anger. He wants mercy. He prays for relief from his condition that has been described in such depressing terms in verses 2 through 8. Lord, all my desires before you, my sighing is not hidden from you. He turns to God because God can provide relief. And then verses 13 to 20, a prayer of confession, where he confesses his sin, specifically in verse 18, for I confess my iniquity, I am full of anxiety because of my sin. And the last two verses, his prayer for help. O Lord, O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. So starting with this, hitting first of all in verse 3 where he's saying that this suffering is because of a sin, let's remember that sin is not the cause of every illness. There's the case here where it was in David's situation, but it is not always so. Tom just mentioned Job as a perfect example. However, this particular case, David's sin or iniquity resulted in the suffering. Willem van Gemeren says suffering is a form of God's discipline in the school of righteousness. That can be when we need discipline because of sin. It can mean when we need discipline just to grow, not because of sin, but because of a need to mature. And we mature through trials. I have a typo there, huh?
Of righteousness.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to correct that sometime before I get it out there. Hopefully it's correct in the, I'm looking here to see if it's correct in the handout. Good. So you get to take home the correct version. All right? We have three questions we want to ask. You see them there in color on your handout, in red, in green, and in blue. The red because it requires atoning, it's because of sin. The green because it's having to do with maturing and the process of growth that God sometimes allows illness and trouble and trial to enter our lives. And the blue, royal suffering, as Job, on behalf of God and in showing God's glory through him. So let's talk about each one of these. I've got these questions here from James Montgomery Boyce in his commentary on the Psalms. And I thought they were excellent ones for us to consider. Have I sinned? or gotten off the track of obedience to what I know I should be doing? And is this setback God's way of getting me back on track and into fellowship with Him? How can we know that that's the question we ought to ask about our suffering or our illness? Anyone? Steve? All right. We could examine our lives, and if we have been disobedient or even have a doubt about our full obedience, just begin to do what God wants to do and continue to do what God wants to do and see what happens. That's what Steve's suggesting there. It's one way. Okay, Coral?
It's
okay. Sometimes the very nature of the illness itself will be testimony as to why we're suffering. Because of our own stupidity or our own committing of sin. And so if the nature of the illness testifies to that, then we need to recognize that and confess it. Tom?
Sometimes we just want to splatter it back to your attention.
All right, that's true. To get our attention, and how do we know that that's what it's for? We've had two suggestions here. One, go ahead and obey God and watch what He does in taking care of it. The other is look at the nature of your illness to see if it's direct the result of sin. Mike? Okay. Pray. Ask God for clarification. Ask Him to reveal it to you. How will He reveal it to you? By a spoken voice from heaven or a dream or something? How will you find out? Lisa? Okay, so someone in the church who is close to you and understands you well, knows you well, might be one who can give you wise counsel in that situation and say, well, you know, I've watched this in your life and I was concerned.
Three good friends.
Okay, three good friends, like Job, huh? Okay, and over here, did you have... Same thing. Okay, good. You know, we really need, whenever we're ill, we need to be praying and ask God, look, if this is because of sin, help me to remember and to understand what my sin is. Julie?
I think that's right. Have we ever been, I know for me, I've been in Witherspoon's church and a Bible study and walked in and the lesson was, I felt just for me. And thanking the Lord, you knew the circumstances of my life, of the sin in my life that I'm dealing with. And it seems at this point in time, you have allowed this believer, whether it's our pastor or one of our elders, that sermon that is, although it is for all of us, it is especially meaning for us that day.
Okay.
And I think sometimes the word reveals to us what's going on.
Okay. Being under the study of the word, the hearing of the word, the preaching of the word helps a lot. Now, sometimes real, you can't make it to church, but there are tapes, there's radio, there's television. Find out where the good sermons are preached of that nature or online and keep under the word of God. And keep reading the Word of God. Sometimes we have this revealed to us by reading the Word. James said, we come to the Word and we look into it as a mirror and we see what sort of person we are. The Word of God reveals our sin. And so if we have reason or have a doubt and wonder, Lord, is my illness, my suffering, my trial due to sin? Read the Word. Keep in the Word. Because the Word will reveal it to you if it is. And as you're reading it, you'll come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and, you know, prayerfully approach the Word. Lord, use your Word to reveal to me what my situation is. TJ?
Maybe, do you have any examples of how this may have heard of this or seen this? Because sickness ever really
be right, well, of course, we have right here with David, Psalm 38. And we have a number of other situations in Scripture, the same type of thing. We have Miriam's sin when she rebelled against Moses and she was stricken with leprosy. Hezekiah's illness when he was disobedient to God. Yes, sir. Right. Exactly. So in the early church, we see that many died even because of the sin in their lives, and they participated in the Lord's table, and the Lord took them home because of it. Because of their disobedience to Him. Trent?
Can you explain this in light of like James 5, any among you who are sick, elders and talking about that? Is there any sort of relationship there?
Yes, there is. Notice in James 5, one of the first things it says there is to confess your sin. To confess your sin. And that is the other response, because we learn that in the Word as well. If we are wondering if our sin is the cause of the illness or trial we're going through, what we need to do is get before the Lord on our knees and confess all the sin that we can remember. And you say, well, what if I don't remember the sin that's affecting me? Remember what the promise of God, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, meaning those sins we know, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all the things we don't remember or don't know or out of ignorance. And so one of the first things, like James 5, is to confess our sins. And then go to the Word and stay in the Word there. Okay, let's move to the second question. Is God using this to trim off some rough edges of my personality and develop a more Christ-like character in me? Not because of sin, but a need for continued growth and for maturing. How do we determine whether this is the case? Anyone? How would we determine if this is the case in our lives?
Pure gold to get put in the fire.
Pardon?
Make pure gold to get put in the fire.
Okay, yes, pure gold we got to put in the fire. We've all been told we're going to suffer sometime, right? And the suffering will be the cause of our growth and refining. What else? What other means? Yes, Susan?
Does that not be the case? Because any time that you're experiencing a trial, you should always go to God and you should always be refined.
All right. Note that. Even if we're suffering because of sin, the cause of the suffering is to discipline us, bring us back into fellowship, and cause us to grow. So every case of suffering is going to involve this, as Susan said. Every single case of suffering. So then our responsibility is, when we're suffering, and we've prayed and determined or looked in the Word and tried to find out if it's due to sin, still, even if we do know or don't know at that point, we need to be asking, Lord, what do you want to teach me through this? And how do you want to change me through this? It may be stopping sin. It may be spending more time in the Word. It may be spending more time in prayer. It may be being a more faithful witness. It may mean a lot of different things. To be more compassionate, to understand. So the comfort we get from the Lord in our suffering, we then share with others in like need. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Mike?
You see suffering coming from a fellow co-worker or other people. Is that kind
of... Okay. And
spiritual sandpaper maybe?
That's right. To polish us and allow people to see more of Christ in us, because it's a privilege to suffer for Christ, is it not? Philippians 1:29, for as is given to you to believe on my name, so it is given to you to suffer for my sake. It's a gift from God to suffer for Christ. All right. Okay. All right. Sometimes we suffer trials and tribulation for what? What does the scripture say? In Romans, it talks about that if we want what, we must be prepared to suffer. What kind of character? One specific character quality.
Patience.
Patience. Tribulation works patience. All right? So we've got to be prepared for that. All right? The last one. Is God using my suffering as a stage upon which His name and wisdom may be glorified? Is a place for me to show that I love Him for who He is, entirely apart from whatever material and physical benefits He may have given me? Job is the primary example of this, isn't he? But it's not just Job. You can probably think of even people within this church that God has used through times of suffering to glorify Him in ways that were upbuilding to the entire body. Their lives were made a stage. I think of the Broadbents sitting up here. That's what God did through them. I think of them. When I read this, I immediately thought of them and the trial God put them through. And they were made, their suffering was a stage upon which God and His name, His wisdom were glorified. So we can always pray that that might be. Okay, yes. Still using. God does this. And it's a great privilege. It's a great joy. It's hard, but it is a joy as you look and see what God has done.
I think it's Dr. King. He's trying to lose her. That man was a bundle of energy. Just really appreciative.
Okay. We can probably think of many others, can't we? What about Hal Kemper? The suffering he went through in those last weeks of his life, and yet one of the things, the stages of God's glory, was out of his mouth was constantly coming what? Scripture. It was glorifying to God. Yes, sir.
I have a good friend that has cancer of the brain. The doctor said there's really no church for it. He said, oh, yes, sir. He said, I'll
let you
be cured down here.
Okay, that's right. Notice the testimony comes. And you know what our prayer ought to be? All of our prayers ought to be, Lord, help me to be prepared for this if you should call upon me to suffer in this fashion. And, you know, we have to have our lives ready to be able to do that. Yes, Robert?
For me, it's two things. My brother died 6 years ago. For me, I gave my life to the Lord to be a preparation for his wife, who had a... And had a son 10 days earlier. When he went, for her, it was like a faith, you know, would you trust? My brother had always told her, don't trust in me, trust in the Lord. All your trust in the Lord, at any time I do a dangerous job, I can go home. And see her faith get stronger and stronger.
Than and just think of the faith that brought God's glory there and it brought Robert to the Lord. I mean, if you haven't heard Robert's testimony, by the way, you would be blessed to hear it. If you ask him, he can provide you a tape of that testimony. I've heard it, and I got the privilege of hearing it personally from him, as well as hearing it by tape a second time after that. It's tremendous what God did through his brother's life and death, a stage of his glory. Jim?
I just wanted to say, every time I catch myself thinking about something, to think about how, and I think about how,
that's right. Amen. Okay, well, let's move on then. Our time is running off here, and we've got a little bit more to cover here. But I wanted to spend more time on this because this is the theme. This is the core of this psalm. That's why we spent time on it. It's important. It's significant. We need to work on it. When David says, my folly, what's he talking about? It focuses on the fact that David knew better than to sin. You see, sometimes when we're suffering through trial or illness because of our sin, we know very well what it is. Sometimes we can pick that up immediately because of the fact we knew what we were doing and we did it anyway and defied God and he brought suffering into our lives to correct us.
Could it be also another psalm that he wrote that he was following?
We have no idea.
Yeah,
it could be. It could be. We just don't know. So his sin was the opposite of godly wisdom. The opposite of godly wisdom. That's what we got to try to cultivate in our lives. He talks about being like a deaf man and a mute man. He feels here totally isolated. Totally isolated. You know, here we see his depression at its worst. People who go through depression, some of you may have been through depression, suffer from feeling isolated. You feel isolated from other people. Now, there's two reasons for that. One is because when you're depressed, you don't want to be with anyone else. And so you're heightening that feeling of isolation because you purposely do cut off others when you are in a state of depression. And we need to look at that carefully. And we become too self-centered at times. And when we become self-centered in our depression, then it becomes all the more devastating because we feel totally alone. And when we feel totally alone, it's because we're focused on ourselves. Notice what David did in the midst of his depression. He said, you will answer. Notice when he said that. It was during his depression. It was while he was suffering. He recognized that God is the one he needed to depend upon. God's the answer to the depression. If we would prepare ourselves well and remain in the Word and in prayer consistently, if we should happen to fall into depression because of severe trials or severe suffering of some sort or another, whether it's by disease or other situations in our life circumstances, we will remember in the midst of that to call upon God. And when we do so, the depression begins to lift. The longer we delay in calling out to God and praying for His help, the longer our depression will continue. The best way out of that depression is praying to God. When that comes, then help is on the way, and the light begins to dawn. It may come slowly, and it may come through time, but that's the turning point. And you see that in many people who have suffered depression. I was reading the book by John Piper. I forgot the name of it now. It was the one, the sequel to Sovereign Joy. It's the second one in the Swan series. And he has in there John Bunyan in his suffering. He has David Brainerd in his suffering, dying as a young man. And he has William Cowper, the hymn writer, who suffered from tremendous depression. And the testimonies in that book, those three men's testimonies, are this, almost invariably. In the midst of depression, the moment they turned to God and prayed for help was when the depression began to lift. And as long as they remained conscious of God's presence and His help being their salvation, they were fine. But the minute they allowed themselves to slip away from that conscious awareness of who God is and what He's done for them, they went back in depression. Cowper did it again and again and again. It was a characteristic of his life. But the hymns he wrote are the result of the times when he turned to God and began to see the light. And in that joy in coming out of the depression, he wrote those beautiful, beautiful hymns that we have in our hymnal. Pardon?
Isn't this the result of faith?
It's the result of faith, absolutely.
Yes,
you will answer. Notice, Lord, you might answer, or anything. It's you will answer. A statement of faith, expression of faith in God. Now notice something else. David says, I follow what is good. Derek Kidner sums it up this way. David's sins, however serious, were those of a man whose fundamental choice was to follow after good. David committed sin. He wasn't perfect. But he had a character that normally followed after good. And that should characterize us as well. And the last thing here, notice the three names of God used throughout this psalm. We see them in verse 15. We see them in verses 21 and 22. We also see them in verse 1 and verse 9. And these three words, these three titles of God, Lord, in all capital letters, focuses on God's covenant relationship to His people. My God expresses the intimate relationship that David had with his God. And Lord emphasizes that He is master, not only of the universe, but even of David's life. These three relationships are ones we need to remember in times of trial as well. God has a specific covenant relationship with us. Therefore, He's not going to allow that illness or that suffering to destroy our salvation, or to destroy our hope in Him. Secondly, it will not destroy our intimate relationship to Him. We will maintain that. He is our God. And thirdly, He is Lord of our lives. He's still in control. Huh?
Even if you're all the sinners known as by the Lord as man after His own heart.
That's right. And that's why. He was a man who had a propensity for doing good. Let's summarize it this way for our application, then pray and leave. Number one, sickness can be the result of sin. It can be the result of sin. It is not always the result of sin. In fact, there are many, many, many times the sickness is not the result of sin in our lives. But there are those occasions where it very well might be, and we need to be prepared to discover that. Sin must be confessed in such cases. And we must demonstrate a disposition to do good. That means staying in the Word so that we're equipped to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:17. Depression's antidote or cure rests with God. We must turn to Him in prayer. That is the beginning of the reversal of depression. Well, I'll put that back up in case some of you were writing that down. I think it's in your notes, though, on the last page. Let's bow in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning that you've given us in the psalm. Lord, there are many depressing passages in the psalm, but it helps us realize the seriousness of sin in our lives. It helps us to realize also your work in our lives, sometimes apart from sin, to just cause us to grow in you. And that in all circumstances of illness or disease, we need to be looking to improving our relationship to you regardless. And we need to be more Christ-like. And Father, prepare us through those times in case you would ever call upon us to become the stage where you would demonstrate your glory and your will for us. Lord, we just thank you for those around us who have been prepared for those times that have come upon them. And we praise you for the work that you've accomplished and for the glory that's been brought to your name and still is today. And people coming to Christ as a result of suffering on the part of your believers. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us each one to grow, that we might be those who would willingly suffer for you and would show your glory. Thank you for this day. Guide in the service that follows. Be with our pastor as he preaches your word. Help us to be ready listeners, willing to apply your word in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.